Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to this latest episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast. I am really excited to bring you another guest interview. Today, I'm sitting down with Fuel Train Recover program graduate, Lauriane Robitaille, who is here to share with us the story of her very first marathon and learning how to dial in her nutrition so that she could have a really wonderful, successful, and positive race experience. So thank you so much, Lauriane, for joining me today. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me, Steph.
All right. So what I would love to start with is for you to share a little bit more with all of us about yourself and how you got into running. What made you decide that you wanted to run a marathon this year?
That was a long journey. So as you mentioned, so Lauriane Robitaille, I was born and raised in Quebec in Canada. I'm 37 years old and I started running 7 years ago, almost by accident. So
isn't that how it goes for all of us? Everyone's yes. Like, well, I wasn't gonna be a runner. I didn't really like running, but here I am.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, I grew up in Canada. I'm the oldest of a family of six children. So I did a lot of team sport when I was younger. And just going into adult life, having to work. So team sport wasn't really fitting anymore in my schedule. So at some point I thought, I need something just to move my body, to kind of help me clean up my head when I need quickly to do something else than working. So at some point I thought, maybe running could be a thing. It's easy. It's not expensive. At least it's what I thought before signing for the marathon. And you can do it wherever you want, whenever you want. So why not? And of course, I needed a buddy to help me on this running journey. So I asked my husband to start running with me. So he wasn't a lot into running either, but we just started slowly doing a couple of minutes running and then walking. And at some point, after a whole summer of doing that more and more, at some point we decided, why not signing up for a race? And so I'm living actually in Switzerland, and in Lausanne, there was an official race, and there was the possibility to run a 10K, a half marathon, a full marathon. And at that point, I thought, ooh, marathon, never going to happen. But I thought, yeah, I thought 10K, yeah, I could manage. So we signed up for the race and we completed it in less than 1 hour. So I felt super proud and I really enjoy it. And now we're running, receiving a medal. I mean, that was all things that seemed to be manageable and that I could do again. So we signed up for another race and another race and another one. And just at some point, My mother reached out to me because she's also a runner. She's still living in Canada. And she asked if I wanted to do a first half marathon with her and with my brother. And I was like, oh, yeah, why not? This was, I think, 5 years ago, something like that. And so we signed up and we ran our first half marathon in Sherbrooke in Quebec. And that went super well again. So less than 2 hours and receive a beautiful medal. And I was so proud and I thought, I did that once. I can do it again. So I then completed, I think, 15 half marathon. And at some point I thought, okay, maybe I'm probably ready to go for something bigger. And then I started reflecting, okay, where can I do an easy marathon? And there's no easy marathon. But if you train, it becomes more and more easy. So I started looking at the different marathon. I didn't know at all how to train and what was, where I should go. I then saw that there was the six major marathon. I thought, oh, that sounds like a nice challenge. So I'm going to do one and then see if I wanted to do again, and then I could have eventually 6 marathons that I can do. So I signed up for Berlin. That was a year ago. And I thought first, I need a marathon where it's not too cold, because even if I lived in Canada most of my life, I just don't like to run into cold weather. So I thought, oh, Berlin, September. Yeah, that sounds great. And I also read that it was one of the flattest marathons, so one of the easiest one again. And I thought, why not? So I signed up for that about a year ago, and I completed it, 2 weeks ago.
Okay, amazing, amazing. And so, I mean, you have been running for a good number of years now, and in that time, you've got a ton of race experience. I mean, you know, you started out with some 10Ks, and then I think you said 15 half marathons. Like, that's a huge number. And then, you know, decided that you were ready to venture into something even longer and that bigger challenge. And so at what point in time did you start to realize that this was a bit of a different ball game, and that maybe you needed some help with your nutrition? And what was your nutrition like, or sort of your nutrition strategy when you were training for all of your half marathons?
I didn't have any strategy. Okay. So that was, and that was for me a sign that I needed help, because I really didn't know what I was doing. I was just thinking, yep, along the court, you can drink some water. If there's something to eat, why not? You're taking it and you'll see. So I did that without really having a plan for the half marathon. And I noticed that I was mostly sore during 3 or 4 days after the half. I was also having massive headache after the run. So I noticed that something wasn't right there. And as I had this goal to complete my first marathon, my first goal was to complete it and feel great. I didn't had any time target at the beginning. I just wanted to finish it and just feel good. So I thought, okay, nutrition is probably a key, because being out there running for 4 or 5 or eventually 6 hours, you will need food. And so I started looking at different books, at also different podcasts, and then I found you. And I just reached out to you and I said, I need help. Can you help me?
Yeah, absolutely. And so going from, you know, not really having a strategy, and I don't want to call it beginner's luck, because that's not really exactly what it is. But I find for a lot of people when they first start running and first start racing, because everything is new and any amount of training that you do is going to be beneficial when you go from like being a non-runner to a runner. So there's often a little bit of like success in those first couple of years, either in terms of you get faster for those first couple of years, your race times improve, you can kind of almost get away with things that aren't really dialed in or tuned in, because just doing anything, any amount of training, any amount of running is going to get you to a certain point. But then this was my personal experience as well with running, and it sounds like it was kind of yours too, where all of a sudden you kind of reach that point where you're not progressing any further. It's like, okay, I got here. Now I can't kind of break through that next level or break through that next stage, because there's some other piece that I'm missing. And, you know, in your case, it was maybe just having a nutrition strategy that got you through your training runs, feeling good and feeling really strong. But then, of course, also now we're looking at a race that's twice the distance. So during your time in the program, when you started to actually look at your nutrition, learn about nutrition for marathoning and, you know, hydration and electrolytes and all the wonderful things that go along with it, what were some of those big lessons that you learned? What were some of the major takeaways that you got from that time?
I think two things really are still in my mind. The first one was, you just mentioned it, electrolytes. So I was drinking and I was taking some kind of mixture, but that with almost no carbs in it, so no sugar. So it wasn't helping me to go through my run and to feel good during it. So adding electrolytes and adding those sport drinks also to my drinking strategy along the race, that helped me a lot. This is the first one. And the second one is the carbs. So I was definitely not eating enough carbs before, during, and after my runs, because of the society that told us since ever that carbs are the enemy. So I was most of the time for lunch eating a salad without any carbs in it, just some proteins, and basically at the end of the day I was just wanting to eat all what that was in my fridge. I needed food, and I thought, but I hate during the whole day, I hate the good things, but I just didn't have enough carbs. And because my volume of running was increasing and increasing, I really noticed that something was missing. It wasn't normal that I felt hungry all the time. So yeah, working with you, I really saw carb differently and included them in a bigger amount throughout the day, just to be able to fuel properly and feel great during the runs, after the runs, and
And were you normally waking up and running in the morning before your workday started, or were you usually running later in the day?
No, absolutely. I was I'm still a morning runner, and I thought, I'm just going to have my run and then I'm going to go throughout my day, maybe grab a snack along the way and not fueling directly after the run. So I also thought it was good to run fasted because you heard that and you think, yeah, why not? If everybody can do it, I can do it as well. And that's maybe going to help me also with my marathon training because I'm going to burn fat. But no, absolutely no, at least not in my case. So I started integrating to my morning routine just a small snack. So before I went out for the run, so a half of a banana or a toast with some peanut butter or Pop-Tarts. I didn't eat Pop-Tarts in so many years, and now I needed to eat carbs. So I was so happy. I eat all the Pop-Tarts, all the different flavors, and now I'm done. I'm done with Pop-Tarts. But
yeah, I really enjoy it.
So that makes a difference in the way that I was feeling during the day, because I didn't felt any more super tired after the run. So I could go through my day because I fueled before doing the runs.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I think that that's such a common struggle for the morning running crowd, where, you know, you have so little fuel in the morning and you're trying to, you know, burn all these calories, especially again, like you said, as the volumes get higher, as you're running for longer, like you're not just going out for 20 or 30 minutes. We're talking about hour 15 workouts, and then, you know, maybe getting in a midweek long run of 8 or 10 miles or something. Like it's these tremendous training volumes. And then you're trying to go through the rest of your day. You know, you've got work, you've got school, you've got family. Like, you know, we have all these other obligations that keep us so busy that you crash, or you're starving, and then we're eating the entire kitchen at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock at the end of the day. And it just becomes a sort of perpetual cycle. So, you know, really learning about the intra-run fueling and like you said, you know, taking in enough electrolytes and making sure that you were hydrating and fueling well during the run, but also like the before and the after being this really important part of putting together a whole strategy that's going to help you feel good the rest of the day too, so that you do want to do this again. You know, you feel like you can put your body through marathon training again. So tell us about the race. Tell us how race day went and, you know, what happened the day.
It was incredible. So thanks to your good advice, I also did a carb loading 3 days before. So it's not just the night before, it's really a longer time before. I slept well the night before. And of course, the day of the race, I had kind of butterflies in my stomach, which was absolutely normal. But I ate my breakfast, I went to the race, and I fueled every 30 minutes. So I had a gel. So we had discussed the strategy. So how many gels I should be taking, how much fluid I should be drinking, and I practiced that also during my marathon training. So I just applied the strategy, and at the end of the race I felt so great. And what was even better is that I was running, I was at like kilometer 27, and people started to vomit on the side of the road and cramping, and I was like, oh my god, will I feel the same in a couple of kilometers maybe? And I was like, oh no, no, everything was good. I was following my plan, and that went really well. So I wasn't at the finish already. I was already thinking, oh, I'm gonna sign up for another marathon, but because it wasn't easy, but it was comfortable. And I knew what I was doing. I had my plan. I executed my plan and everything went well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that you said a really important, well, a couple of important things there, but you know, one of the really important things that you mentioned is practicing. So, yeah. You know, during your race training cycle, like while you're doing all of these long runs, the purpose of the long run isn't just to get your body like physically doing the training and physically ready for the training, but to also have these opportunities to practice figuring out what fueling products you like, figuring out how much electrolyte do you need, figuring out what you like the flavor of and what makes sense, and all of those little things along the way that are so important for ultimately having a really good day. And part of it is having confidence. So yes, we're always going to have butterflies in our stomach. I mean, gosh, even if you've run a dozen marathons and you sign up for a 10K, you're probably going to have some butterflies in your stomach, even though the distance is totally manageable. But it's just, you know, there's always a little bit of race day jitters that go into it. But to have the confidence in your strategy that you've practiced this, you've got it down to a science, you know exactly what you're going to take when, just, you know, that layer of comfort in knowing that you're going to have that much better of a chance of having a good day. And how was the weather on race day? Was it a factor in all of this, or was it pretty mild and really, you know, made it easier?
Yeah, I think I was lucky because it was about 15 to 17 degrees. There was some clouds and the temperature was perfect. It wasn't raining. It was really optimal. But I mean, I also on purpose choose that race because I thought September, it's normally a good season. We should be fine. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, the weather helped, but the plan helped even more.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so in terms of, you know, the results that you were kind of most excited about, I mean, finishing feeling strong, obviously not having anything go terribly awry while you were out there on the race course, were there any other outcomes with this whole process that were really exciting for you?
I would say during the process, so you offered me the possibility to do a genetic test to see if I had some some issue with my diet, and then I noticed that lactose was something that my body wasn't tolerating that well, and that was really sad to learn because I grew up on a farm, I drank milk my whole life, but I kind of felt during the past month that something wasn't okay because I had this stomach issue, but I thought that's probably something else, I don't know. But doing that test that really showed me that lactose was something that I needed to avoid to feel better, and I completely removed it during the rest of the training cycle, and I felt better. So that is one of the key learning that I do along the journey that I did with you, because I had no clue that lactose was affecting me that much.
Okay.
So that was one. And the other thing is the recovery. I also noticed that by fueling better, I was recovering way faster than what I did in the past. And for the marathon, I was sore during 2 days. And after that, I didn't felt anything else. So that was super quick. And I also noticed prior to the marathon that during the long run, so after the long run, the day afterwards, I was also feeling great. So the nutrition really play a key role in this recovery after running.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, the beautiful thing about that is now then, because you can recover faster, you know, your capacity to train more, like you have this increase in your capacity to be able to train, whether that is a little bit more intensity or whether that is a little bit more mileage, but you're just able to do so much more when you don't feel so beat up all the time and so exhausted. So that's really wonderful.
True.
Going into this whole process of learning more about fueling and kind of understanding nutrition as a runner, as a marathoner, what was the most surprising thing for you that you learned along the way and the most surprising thing that you're doing differently now?
I would say I stopped focusing on food. So because of the diet culture, I was kind of always trying to count my macros and see where I landed to. And at some point through the process of working with you, I just kind of it unlocks something in my head. So food is fuel. You need fuel to achieve your goal, and the fuel is going to help you. So I just stop focusing in a negative sense so much about food and using it to help me achieve my goals. So that was a big surprise, because now I'm really able to feel that, okay, I ate enough, I don't need more. But on the other side as well, oh, I need more food because I've been running a little bit more this week. So I need to fuel a little bit more, and I'm not afraid to just get this extra food, this extra carb, because I listen, I'm able to listen to my body now.
That's so amazing. That's so wonderful. In that, learning more about nutrition and kind of understanding nutrition and your needs to that deeper level really allows you a more relaxed relationship with food and allows you to be able to make choices not based on having this external set of numbers or targets. You know, obviously we start and we have numbers and we have goals and we have things like to say, we want you to get in a certain amount of grams of carbs per hour or per day or whatever, but you can kind of take that. And then once you integrate it and you learn, you get this flexibility that I think a lot of diets that sort of in that classical sense really don't offer is that flexibility and the ability to shift and adjust based on your needs, based on how much running you're doing. Because you go from your marathon cycle where, you know, it really is about needing a significant quantity of carbs on a regular basis, to now where you're at currently, you know, taking some time off and doing just, you know, sort of an off season and then getting into some base building over the winter, where now, you know, you can kind of shift your focus to other aspects of your nutrition, but it doesn't have to feel restrictive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So in terms of any other kind of interesting things that you learned or started doing differently, is there anything else that you sort of picked up along the way that you were kind of surprised by when you reflect back on it?
Sadly, I noticed that reducing alcohol was a good thing.
Ah, oh, shucks.
So in Europe, we are used to just for lunch or dinner have a glass of wine with what we're eating. So I was a lot into that culture of having here and there some alcohol and enjoying it with other people. And during my process of training for the marathon, also working with you, I just noticed that I was more so focused on what helped me feel good, what was serving my goal, versus what I could enjoy, but I need to put my priorities at the right place to be able to go through that journey. So I saw a massive change in my recovery, my sleep quality by reducing alcohol. And like 6 weeks before the race, I just stopped completely drinking any alcohol, and that was my choice. That's not something that you told me you need to do that, but I wanted to give my body the chance to recover and to be ready for that big day, and that helped a lot. So in the off season now, I'm enjoying a glass of wine here and there, but I feel the difference when I'm not drinking. So I learned that it's not helping me to reach my goal.
Yeah, it's true. And for anybody listening, you know, who maybe hasn't heard this before, isn't aware of this, you know, we do know that from a recovery perspective and from like an athletic performance perspective, alcohol really isn't recommended during higher training volumes. You know, exactly like you said, recovery, sleep, you know, even things like our digestive system, like alcohol can really be an irritant to the GI tract. And so something else to kind of consider, especially, you know, the night before long runs and stuff like that, where we want our stomach to feel really good. But yeah, you know, for a lot of people looking at how much alcohol they're having, or, you know, maybe their relationship with alcohol as they're training for a race is probably another piece of the puzzle that maybe is holding some runners back from kind of reaching their full potential or really having the best race training cycle that they possibly can. And anywhere that we can cut back during especially those heaviest training volumes is going to be a positive thing. And so now that you have finished the race and, you know, you've kind of moved on from that goal and then you're thinking ahead to the next one, you know, what does your nutrition look like now in kind of your post-race era compared to what it was before?
This is something that we discussed together because I didn't know how to switch back to a lower volume of running and to adapt my nutrition accordingly. So what I'm doing based on our discussion and your recommendation is also to reduce the carbs a little bit more, increase the vegetable and increase also so the protein compared to before where I was mainly eating, so most of the plate was carb. So we shifted that a little bit and that is also helping me to lose a little bit of weight because that was also the goal in this slower phase of the training to just reduce a little bit my weight overall to get faster and so we switched that back. I'm still having plenty of carbs. I'm still fueling before my race, during my race and after my race, but the rest of the day I'm concentrating on having those balanced meals and adding a little bit more vegetable and protein compared to what I had before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want everyone listening to take away, right? This is not no carb. This is not cutting out carbs, right? It's nothing extreme. It's just a shift. And I think that that's another place where, you know, runners can sort of get taken off the right course or sort of veer off path. Is it's sort of that all or nothing, right? We're either eating all the carbs or we're feeling like we have to eat no carbs. And if we're not doing these really high training volumes, then we don't deserve to have carbs on our plate. We don't need to have carbs on our plate. And the shift between, you know, marathon nutrition and base building nutrition is a modest adjustment. You know, it's not this huge 180 of our diet. You know, we still need enough protein, we still need enough fiber and vitamins and minerals, and we still need to get in our fuel. It's just that little adaptation that can make all the difference so that we can focus on the right goals at the right time. So it's great to sort of see that in action, and you know that you're able to integrate that in the next phase of your training in a way that's you know feeling really positive and not like you're being deprived or restricted. So what advice for runners who are maybe listening to this episode that are where you were 6 months ago, that they are taking on a new race distance for the first time, or maybe they're kind of stuck. They've been, you know, trying to improve their times, trying to get faster at a certain race distance, and something's just not clicking, something's just not coming together. What advice do you have for runners who are where you were 6 months ago?
That's a good one. I would say definitely get some help, get some support, go and get the information about the nutrition piece, because this is going to have a major impact on your result and unlocking the things that are blocked at the moment, because maybe you just don't know. There's a lot of things that you're not aware of, and having the help of somebody that is a specialist in nutrition, it is just going to be a game changer. And we are spending money for all kind of stuff, but we are most of the time forgetting to invest in ourselves. So investing in our own health and making sure that we have the information, we have the plan, we have everything that we need, is just going to help you to achieve that, those goals that you have, because you are already so stressed or your brain is full of so many other stuff. If you can just find somebody that can support you with that piece of the puzzle, it's going to be so much easier to achieve the rest of your goals. So get some help, ask questions, and find what is matching your ambition and your goals.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think, you know, it can really help make running enjoyable and make running not feel like torture or punishment, and really help a lot of people continue to run and do these healthy things for our bodies for so many more years to come, rather than, you know, kind of hitting that wall, getting burnt out, getting really injured to the point of not being able to run because nutrition is not where it needs to be. and to be able to fuel ourselves in a way that keeps us running for maybe decades to come is going to do far more for our mental health, our physical health, I mean, everything, than doing it for a few years, totally overdoing it, burning out, hitting the wall, and then, you know, maybe having to quit or give up. So I think that's fantastic advice. And, you know, for people who are listening, you know, that investment doesn't always need to be this really big financial investment. You know, there's so many free resources that are available to start planting the seeds, to kind of start giving you some good information and some good kind of ideas around nutrition. And I always like to think about investments in running as not just financial, but also like our time investment and our energy investment. And so by starting to make that investment in learning more about nutrition where you can, you might eventually reach the point where you want to hire a professional and work with a professional on your nutrition. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that right out of the gate. Sometimes there's a lot that you can learn just by maybe following the right accounts on social media, getting on the right email newsletter list, listening to the right podcasts where they're kind of, you know, sharing some tips and advice that can be really useful. So thank you so, so much for spending some time with me today, Lauriane, to share your story and to give some words of wisdom and inspiration to all of our listeners. I think you've had a really wonderful marathon experience, and it's so great to hear that everything went well for you on race day because you put in the work and you practiced and you trained hard and, you know, you did all the things. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners today? Anything else that you want to tell them or think that they should know?
Thank you, Steph. Yes, I would say you can achieve anything. Anything is possible. And I didn't thought 3 years ago that I would be able to run a marathon at some point. And I just completed Berlin. I signed up for London next year. And I mean, you just need to have the right, yes, I'm so looking forward to it. So you just need to have the right resources, the right plan, and then you just need a little bit of discipline, and you can really achieve anything. So don't be afraid, and just go get your dreams, get the support, and enjoy every step of the process.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much again for taking the time to share your story today. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for everyone who tuned into this episode and listened. I hope that you picked up some great tips and some inspiration and, you know, are ready to set some big goals and do some big, scary seeming things too. But knowing that, of course, just like Lauriane, you can achieve anything that you put your mind to. So thank you so much. That's all we've got for today, and we will catch you in next week's episode. Bye for now. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.